Coming up today, we'll follow the story of a young couple who was led by God through a long period of waiting for a child. Emily and Austin Brooks will share their journey and the powerful lessons they've learned.
As women, we want to plan. We want everything to go a certain way. We've walked obediently and faithfully with the Lord up till this point, and everyone's telling us, you're the perfect couple. Surely you're going to get a baby immediately. And when that doesn't happen, you start to wonder.
That's where the surrender comes in of just like, okay, I don't have any control of this, and I shouldn't pretend like I know what's going on. God has a much bigger picture and a much bigger plan for us, and we just have to submit to His will.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Well, as part of our recognition of Sanctity of Human Life Month, we want to talk about the blessing of adoption. The Brooks family is featured in this month's The Stand magazine, recalling the ups and downs of their long journey through the process of adoption and the mercy of God that really sustained them all the way through. Emily and Austin, it's good to have you with us today on The Stand Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Emily, take us back to the beginning before we get into the adoption and tell us how you became a couple in the first place.
Yes, so Austin and I met at Asbury College, now Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. We were actually in the same orientation group our freshman year, so that's how we knew of one another. And then sophomore year, we started talking and eventually became a couple the beginning of our junior year of college. And so he was my first boyfriend. Which was special, and I had been praying for my future husband forever. And so the Lord made it very clear that He was who He had for me. And so it was a sweet relationship focused on the Lord, and we enjoyed journeying through that together.
No pressure, Austin. That's a high bar.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the things that attracted me to Emily was her passion for the Lord. When I met her, it was like, this girl loves Jesus more than I do. And as a result of that, it made me want to just have a better relationship with Christ, because it's like, hey, if I'm going to pursue this girl, I'm going to have to up my game. And because she's walked through so much through life with health, and she just had such a close relationship with the Lord. And so she really, that was something that attracted me to her, was just the fact that she made me want to be a better man of God.
That's wonderful. We should let our audience know that, Austin, you and I have worked together for many years.
Yes.
You're the director of American Family Studios, and what a blessing it was to work with you for a number of years. So I know a little bit about your story, and some of this I'm hearing for the first time. Emily, I know that you have a health condition that has been part of your life history. How did that play into your courtship and to your relationship early on?
Yes, so I was very sick as a baby. When I was 2 years old, I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and as my life progressed, several other diagnoses were put on top of that. But as Austin and I were dating, it was probably some of the sickest times of my life. And we look back and we see the Lord's hand as He was able to reveal to Austin what my life really did look like, having chronic illness. But as we were dating, it was very important to me that He knew the reality of my life with chronic illness. And there were many times when I would lay it all out on the table and say, hey, like, I know that we're great together and I would love to spend the rest of my life with you, but if you do not want to sign up to be a part of this and have to take care of me in these times, during our dating, there was a time when I was almost crippled. I could hardly walk. Friends had to walk me to the class. They had to help me get dressed in the morning. I lived 19 hours from home, and so I didn't have my parents to help me through that. And so He was able to witness some major flares during that time. But He stayed. He didn't go anywhere.
So, Austin, did this condition work itself into your conversations about what a future family might look like and all of that?
Yeah, she very early on in our relationship was very honest and just said, you know, not exactly sure what this looks like. you know, if we pursue marriage, what that would look like for family planning and things like that. But for me, it was always just one of those things where it was like, the Lord is obviously wanting me to be with this woman, and whatever the situation is, I know the Lord will give us wisdom through that and will make a path forward, because it was just so obvious that the Lord was putting us together. And, you know, just that whole season of seeing Emily go through those health things in college, it was really like, yeah, that it would be really easy for me to back out of this and just say, you know, this isn't for me. This isn't something I want to deal with. But I think it was, honestly, it was her attitude toward it all. It was like, she never complained. She never just let it get her down. She stayed so positive and so optimistic. And it was like, this is the kind of person I want to be around. Like, if things are going to be hard, like, you want somebody that's going to, you know, push through with you. And so I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that with her, whatever the ups and the downs, for better, for worse, for, you know, sickness and in health, you know, it just, it makes that commitment that much more, you know, important, to me. So she was very honest, and we had talked about, you know, what that would look like, you know, having children when we got married, but, we just knew that we would cross that bridge when we got to it, and the Lord would make that path clear for us.
Emily, of course, let's fast forward. You did get married, and now you're together. You're talking about family. What led you down this road to considering adoption?
So we always wanted to have children, and the first several years of our marriage, we really just focused on each other. We didn't feel the Lord's pull yet to start that journey. And several years into our marriage, we started to get the itch. And we knew that that entailed having lots of conversations with each other and with my specialists, my doctors. And so that's where we started. We started having conversations with my doctors and asking specific questions on what it would look like to have children naturally, and if that was a possibility. And they were very, very clear that it would be a difficult journey to have biological children, and could possibly send my body into a flare that I would never recover from. And so I was looking at, as we were making this decision, the choice was, if we were to have biological children, it could also cause me to end up forever in a wheelchair. Not that that's a bad thing, but I wanted to be able to be all that I could be for children if the Lord had that for us. And so we left those doctor's appointments, and we had conversations with our parents and with each other. And we were very peaceful that having biological children was not what the Lord intended. Now, I say peaceful, I also mourned. I was saddened to think about not having a child who would look like me or have our personality, our DNA. I'm a very sentimental person, and so, you know, charting the family line and things like that. And I look back in my journals from that time, and those were the things that I was mourning, and I see how the Lord has been so faithful. And those, and we can talk about how he answered those prayers later. But yeah, he made it very clear that adoption was going to be the next step for us. And so we started that adventure together.
All right. So Austin, what did that look like when you decided, I think we're going to adopt? So as the man, what did you do to sort of take that first step?
Well, when you begin the journey and you know nothing, it can be very overwhelming. So what we did was, luckily, I was employed here at American Family Association, where there were a lot of people that had adopted. And so we just began having conversations with people around us, people in our church. There was somebody that recommended a couple that was up in Memphis, like, hey, they've adopted. You should call them up and have a conversation, because we just wanted to get all the information that we could to understand, what does this process look like? What should we be expecting? You know, how time consuming, because there's application, there's home study, the financial cost of it. It's like, okay, wrapping our minds around all of these things and trying to make a plan go forward. And so we initially started with Bethany Christian Services here in the state of Mississippi. And I don't think that they're even here in Mississippi anymore, but we chose them because they were a more affordable option. And so we did our initial application and home study through them. And then we waited, was it two years with Bethany. And then our parents encouraged us to look at other private adoption agencies. And I had heard through our partnerships here at American Family Association about New Beginnings Adoption Agency here in Tupelo. And so we looked into that, and it was very easy for us to transfer our home study from Bethany to New Beginnings. So then at that point, we were with both agencies waiting. And so, and that's how we came to be with New Beginnings. And then we waited about a year. So a total wait time of 3 years. And Emily can tell you more about what that wait was
I want to
like.
Hear about that waiting period, because that's a crucial part of your story. What was it like waiting during this time? What's going through your mind at this time, Emily?
It was difficult. So we started the process of that 3 years, and every time my phone would ring, my heart would leap. Is this the call? Is this it? And then 3 months goes by, and it was never the call, and 6 months goes by, and nothing's happening. And so there was a lot of prayer. There was a lot of asking the Lord to take our thoughts captive, my thoughts especially. As women, we want to plan. We want everything to go a certain way. We've walked obediently and faithfully with the Lord up till this point, and everyone's telling us, you're the perfect couple. Surely you're going to get a baby immediately. And when that doesn't happen, you start to wonder. And so I spent a lot of time in prayer. There was maybe 2.5 years into our wait, a little less than that, I started to prayer walk every morning and pray specifically for our future children, for their birth parents, for protection in the womb, and just focus my mind less on the struggle of the wait and more on these beautiful children that hopefully the Lord has ordained for us to raise and for their biological parents who are making a very difficult and courageous decision for them.
What sort of spiritual warfare did you encounter mentally? Because I know that the enemy can put thoughts into your mind. And in the background of all of this, it's not simply that you're waiting for a child. You're waiting for someone to look at you as a couple and to determine whether or not you are the ones that get their baby. So how did you, and I think you've already alluded to that, you were taking every thought captive. Is that really the secret in your mind of?
Yes, that, and then just being in the scriptures and for both of our adoption stories, the Lord drew me to different places. And for our first journey, for this part of the journey, he led me to the Psalms where it says that your name is written on the palm of my hands. I will not forget you. And so the reminder, and I knew that, the Lord never will forget us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. I know all these things. But then he led me to this very specific point in scripture where he's like, not only will I not forget you, I have tangibly written your name on my hand. I see you. I know your story. I know the desires of your heart. And all through this journey, we also knew the reality that, yes, God knows the desires of our heart, but our heart's desires don't always line up with his will. And so we had to have those conversations too as a couple of, yes, we're walking obediently. We know that we are right where we're supposed to be within God's will. Will we receive a child after all of this? And so a lot of my journey is going back in prayer and giving it to the Lord and keeping my mind focused on his will, his word, and being refreshed that way.
Austin, was there ever a time that you thought, look, let's just throw in the towel. This has been long. This has been hard.
Yeah, there was. And to go just to more the spiritual warfare aspect of it, the enemy will use anything to try to penetrate just your understanding of and your dependence on God. So in that waiting period, there the enemy did for me try to creep in and just there was this element of you're not worthy, like you're waiting because you're not good enough, or you're not worthy, or it's something that you've done that's upset God, and you're not to the point of God bestowing these blessings on you. The enemy, that's the enemy. And so, like Emily said, it's just searching the scripture and clinging to the promises that God has for us, that that he will sustain us, and he has a plan. And that's where the surrender comes in, of just like, okay, I don't have any control of this, and I shouldn't pretend like I know what's going on. God has a much bigger picture and a much bigger plan for us, and we just have to submit to his will. And when you rest in God's will and you surrender to that, and you let him take control, then that waiting period becomes less of me and more of how am I just immersing myself in the Lord through this time of waiting and growing closer to him.
Yeah, so he definitely used that in your life to draw you closer to himself. Emily, tell us about the call. When the call finally came, you'd been waiting a very long time.
Yes,
some despair had creeped in a little bit. Tell us about the moment that call actually came.
Yes, so we had been waiting 3 years. Austin and I had just celebrated our 7-year anniversary. We had been on a trip, and actually it was during that time that we had these conversations about surrender and the Lord is enough. And if it's not meant for us to have children, we were okay with that. We were actually planning that week on pulling our profile off of the table at New Beginnings and just taking a break and praying about what the Lord had for us. And he didn't give us a moment to do that. We got back from our anniversary trip on a Friday, and on Monday, October 31st, we got a phone call while we were passing out Halloween candy. We were sitting on the front porch, and my phone rings, and I go inside to take the call, and it was our social worker. And she said, "Well, Emily, I have great news. You have a daughter." And I ran outside and I said, "Austin, you need to come in." And we stood in the foyer with the phone in between us on speaker as we listened to her tell us the little tiny information that she did have. Lydia Grace had been born on Sunday the 30th, and her birth mother had chosen adoption for her, just realizing that that would be the best choice that she could make for her daughter to have the best life that she possibly could. And so Austin and I closed the door.
And she said, "You need to come tomorrow."
Yes.
Well, I was going to ask you, okay, so you have this wonderful news. Surely you have a few days to prepare for this.
No.
No, absolutely not. And we had not really, we kind of purposefully didn't decorate a nursery because we didn't want to have just that reminder there. And we were like, and we always thought, you know, surely we will have, you know,
have a
couple of weeks or months to kind of, we'll be chosen before the baby's born. But no, this was, baby was born, birth mother chose adoption. We get a call, come get this child tomorrow. And so we had 12 hours essentially.
And it was already, 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
so by
the
time we're done
evening
on the phone and calling our parents and our siblings, you know, we have 2 hours at a store to buy everything that we need.
Whatever you need to bring an infant home, which we have discovered is not that much. You need, you know, you need diapers and you need formula and you need a car seat and somewhere for the baby to sleep and some clothes. But, and we knew that our families would have, you know, baby showers for us, and we would be receiving just gifts from so many people and our church family.
But it was funny because we went to Babies R Us. We were so thankful that Babies R Us was still around. And we piled our cart with everything, and there's no one there. It's Halloween. Everyone's out. So all the workers, they know what's going on. They're helping us out. The whole store is surrounding us. And we go and we check everything out. Austin has everything in the cart, and he starts running off to the car.
Start leaving without paying.
Had yet to swipe the credit card. But
Small details.
Small details. They knew we were so excited, so they all laughed with us about that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so the next day we went to the hospital and we met Lydia Grace for the first time. And we spent one night in the hospital with her because she was premature, and doctor wanted her to put on some more weight. But Emily,
it was the sweetest moment though, because we're in this little hospital and our social worker takes us on the elevator and we get up and the doors open to the maternity ward. And I'm thinking they're going to take us into a room and there's going to be this little baby. Well, the nurses had been taking care of our daughter. And so our social worker walks us up to the nurse's desk.
They had her. They had Lydia Grace at the
nurse's
station.
They were holding her.
At the nurse's desk.
Yes. They wanted to make sure that she was held and loved for every moment of her life until she got into our arms. And they just placed this tiny little girl into my arms. And it was the most beautiful moment because we had been waiting and hoping for so long. And then when you have this bundle of joy and her eyes were open, she was wide awake. Big blue eyes. And it was just a surreal moment. And they're putting a stranger in your arms. But when they do, she's ours. There was never a moment where this is a stranger. This was our little girl.
And you're processing the fact that, you know, just last week we were talking about, you know, what if we're never chosen?
Mm-hmm.
And should we pull our profile out of the running and reevaluate all this? And then it was almost like in that moment, it's like God wanted to get to us to the place of surrender.
Wow, what a story. And I think that is the overarching theme, I think, of my impression of your story is that element of surrender. And the Lord bringing you to the place where, you know, you honestly do depend upon Him for everything.
That's right.
And at that point, He chose out of His goodness and mercy to give you a child.
That's right.
For some people, He may not do that, mm-hmm. but may say, I'm going to be enough for you.
That's right.
But for you, He gave you a precious daughter. Lydia Grace is such a beautiful girl. How old is she now?
She's 8 years old.
8 years old.
Eight, going on 13.
All right, so that's not the end of your adoption story. So yeah. I want to move ahead just a little bit. Emily, tell us what happened after you had Emily Grace and she's in your home for a while. Did you give up on adoption or what did you do next?
Yes, yeah, so we just enjoyed Lydia Grace and we didn't really think much about what was next until the Lord placed it in our hearts. And it happened the same way with when we were starting the adoption process in the very beginning, the Lord made it very clear that it was time to start.
To both of us
yeah. at the same time. And so we trusted that when it was time to start the adoption process again, He would make it clear. And Lydia Grace was about 2 and the Lord started pulling on our heart and we around the same time said, I think it's about time. So I think she was 2.5 when we mm-hmm. started the process again. And it doesn't take as long once you're in in the system.
Yeah, so we updated our home study. We did some a few additional paperwork things. We had
made
to redo.
Made a new profile book.
Yeah, made a new profile book and things like that. But and it was great that we already had a relationship with New Beginnings. So they knew us and they've taken such good care of us through both adoptions.
So she was just over 2.5, almost 3 when we were approved. And we started waiting. And of course, during that time, we're talking with her about being a big sister one day. And she's playing with her little baby dolls. And she knew we had a boy name and a girl name picked out. So she knew all of those things. And the Lord just... It was just such a sweet time. It was a sweet time of waiting for all of us. And
we've always been very open about adoption in our home. And so,
yes.
And telling Lydia Grace about her adoption story and how God brought her to our family. So
yes.
for her to now, you know, get to see us going through it to adopt another child, I think that was really neat.
Yes.
For her too, even as young as she was, you know, just to see how adoption works and how God was building right. our family.
And at this stage in her life, as a 3-year-old, she was able to articulate her adoption story. She was very proud. She would just go up to random people and say, I'm adopted. And so she was very awesome. Proud of that. So on March 8th, I was Lydia Grace's Sunday school teacher at the time. And so we were getting ready for Sunday school and my assistant came in the room and was just talking to Lydia Grace. It was just the 3 of us in the room. And she just randomly said, Lydia Grace, are you just so excited to be a big sister? And Lydia Grace looked at her and said, oh, I'm already a big sister. And my brother's name is Landon. And we kind of all looked at each other and went, okay, well, that's great, Lydia Grace. Well, let's just pray that the Lord, that the Lord brings you a baby brother one day. The next afternoon, March 9th, at 4:30 in the afternoon, I get a phone call from New Beginnings, and they say, well, it's happened again. And I said, what's happened again? Because at this time, New Beginnings had changed everything. You were supposed to get an email, not a phone call. And so I just saw our social worker's name on my phone and said, oh, well, she needs an update or something. She said, well, it's happened again. And I said, well, what do you need? And she said, no, you have a baby boy. And I said, what? We have a baby boy? You're not supposed to call me. And she said, yes, a birth mother has chosen you all, and she is due in 9 days. And
so we had a little bit more time.
We had 9 days
okay, all right.
to prepare for Landon. This was March of 2020, so right at the beginning of the pandemic. It was right before all the shutdowns took place.
Austin, as we close our time together today, and this is a beautiful story, what would you say to the person who's waiting, and they're in a period of just enduring the thoughts of whether or not they are in the will of God in a particular area? How would you encourage them to seek the Lord and really to come to the point where you release the things that you have to hold, you know, like you did?
I would just say to the person that's waiting or is in that season of being unsure, is just cling to your faith and trust. There are unknowns, and there are times that you may doubt. But if God has made it clear that you are walking in His will and His path, then He will answer that prayer one way or another. And I would say, always be prepared to react to either answer as well. You know, be prepared to receive the desire of your heart, or be prepared that God may have something else for you, and then submit and surrender to what His will may be in that and what He may be trying to teach you or show you through that process. It's not always easy, but God is always good. And so just cling to your relationship with Christ, and He will give you the tools that you need to walk through that difficulty.
Yeah. Wonderful story, Emily and Austin Brooks. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And be sure and check out their article, A Journey to Surrender, in this month's The Stand magazine. Well, coming up next weekend, we'll continue our pro-life theme with a discussion of the technological wonders and moral risks of in vitro fertilization. Ed Vitagliano will join us. Then Will Hild of Consumers Research will tell us how TJ Maxx is funding trans ideology in schools. To share today's program with someone, get our podcast at afr.net. Thanks for listening today, and join us next time on The Stand Radio.